Today shares Masechta Bava Kama Daf Kuf Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Pei and Kuf Zayin on the Be'ez. Three lines from the bottom. Boy Rama Bachoma. Mamanam Mechai VeKefil. The situation where somebody's going to have to pay Kefil, is it also Parchim and Achaymish? And the Gemara's question is since it's impassable halachically, the halacha never requires that you should have to pay kefil and chaymish. So the Mara's question is it the fact that you have to pay kefil is what exempts you from paying chaymish? Oidoma, shvua, kefil, shvuasa mechayves a kefil, the shvua which caused that he should be chayv kefil, poitrusim and chaymish, because what that shvua cannot both obligate you to bring kefil and chaymish. So the Mara wants to know, what is the practical nafkamina? Hechi dami, exactly where is the circumstance where this question will be relevant? Hechi dami, says the Gemara Kagoyim. There was a situation, Shatan Taniskanef, that the Shomer claimed that the object that he was asked to watch was stolen, the Nishba, and he swore that that's what happened. And then Chazar, he then retracted from his original claim, and says v'toyin tanis oved, and he claims that it was lost. He says that what he originally said, that it was stolen, was inaccurate. What really happened was that it was lost. And the Rishonim explain it's not that he's saying the first it was stolen or then lost or vice versa. He's saying that it was stolen. Now he's retracting the saying was lost. V'nishba. And he swears to that effect. And then Edom come and say that his first shvua was not true. And they say that it wasn't stolen. And the Shomer himself admits that the second claim that he said that was lost was untrue. Mai, what will be the halacha in this case? We can't make him pay kefil and chaymish at the same time. And here, he's chayiv kefil because he was toyin tanaskanef. He claimed it was stolen when it really wasn't. And as we've been learning in our shurim, under their circumstances, he's chayiv kefil. For chayiv like kefil, so now he's already chayiv kefil, and he won't be chayiv chaymish. Or dilma, shvua mechayiv is a kefil. If he made a shvua that makes him be chayiv kefil, chaytrusim and chaymish. He won't be chayv chaymish for that kefil, and not for that shvua. So here, when we speak about the first shvua, if he would have admitted himself, that loch would be deis chayv chaymish. But he didn't admit himself that he had lied. What happened was, Edom came. So we know, when he admits himself, he's chayv chaymish. When Edom come, he's chayv kefil. So for the first full shvua, there's a chayv kefil. Now there's the second shvua. The second shvua that he made, that he had lost this object, but it wasn't true. He had actually, and he was admits that it wasn't true. So when that's a shvua that doesn't come with any kefil, because there's no kefil payment for when an object is lost. The entire kefil payment only kicks in when there's a geneva. Here he said it was an aveda. So then these are two separate shvuas. Each shvua comes with its own obligation. The first shvua comes with a kefil payment obligation, and the second shvua comes with a chaymish obligation. And he'll pay both. Or do we say that once he's chayiv kefil, he won't be chayiv chaymish at all? I'm Rav Toshma. We could bring a raya from the Braisa. The Braisa speaks about a case where Oma lechem menashok. Somebody says to an individual, this individual is not a shomer. He says, Hechan shori shegunafta. He approaches him and says, where is the animal of mine that you have stolen? Well, I'm like ganafti. And he says, not true, I didn't steal your animal. And he says to Mashbiach Ani, I make you swear to that effect. V'amar amen, he says, amen, which means he accepted the shvua. V'heidim e'idim ha'isa, and then Edom come, that he actually did steal it, that's a classical example of a ganef that pays kefil, misham tishlumi kefil. Let's say he admits that he stole it. So as we've learned also, if one swears falsely to a claim of a bikadin, swears falsely, and then he admits, the halach is that he has to pay keren chaymish for asham. For hacha, says the Gemara, edim hu demechayv lekfela. The edim make him pay kefil by having said that he is a ganav. And yet the Brisa says that hoyda ma'atzmai, if he admits by his own, on his own, chayv chaymish, have a hoyda ach edim, if he admitted after the edim were to come, he would not be chayv chaymish or kefil. Visa akadatach, if we're going to say that from one episode, from one claim, you could be chayv kefil and chaymish, so shvur mechayv is a kefil, patrisoi, amen, a chaymish. The shvur that makes you pay kefil says you're not going to pay chaymish. Am I? But why? In a case, hoy da acha edim, loy, why shouldn't he pay chaymish? Michti, ha shvur, this shvur that he made that and then regretted, like a mechayv le kefil, wasn't what made him pay kefil. The edim made him pay kefil. And the shvur, and then the admission, and then the shvur and the admission are what make him pay chaymish. So we say that if the obligations come from different places, you could pay both. Why shouldn't he have to pay both? From here we see, says the Gemara, that you never pay both kefil and chaymish. Alav shmam, you know, the answer to this question is, the moment I'm a chayv kefil, patresim and chaymish, if you're going to pay kefil, you're not going to have to pay chaymish, shmam, you know. By Ravina. So now the Gemara says that you never pay chaymish and kefil for the same object. Chaymish kefila betray gavri. That means there were two people in watching the same object. Is it possible that one should be chayiv kefil and one should be chayiv chaymish? Mai, what is the halacha? First the Gemara establishes what is the case. Heichidami, exactly what are the circumstances? Kigon shemasa shor l'shnei bnei adam. He asked two people to watch his animal. V'tanaboy tainas ganav. And both then said that the animal was stolen. Chad nishba v'hoida. One swore to that effect, but then admitted that he lied. So a person who swears falsely and is moida, we know has to pay a chaymish. V'chad nishba. And the other one swore that it was stolen, but he was caught by Edom. And such a person would be chayiv kefil. And the Rishonim point out that the order here is significant. That the order here is that the person, the first there was the person that admitted, and then there was the person, the first there was the person that was admitted, and then there was the person that was caught by Edom. The other Rishonim say it could have been either way. My, me meaning, we just finished learning that one person for one claim cannot be chayiv kefil and chaymish. It's either kefil or chaymish. However, maybe bechad gavra kapid rachmana, one individual the loy mishalim chumish v'kefil will not pay both. Avol, but hi, in this case, nishalim kefil, the one that was caught lying by Edom will pay kefil. Bahai and the one that admitted that he lied should pay chaymish. Adilma, or do we say, in extension to what we said earlier, a lie chad mamun kapit rachmana, based on one object that you're watching, or one animal that was stolen, whatever the case is, the Torah has a halacha, the lie nishalim mechum shvekela, that you don't pay for that animal, for that object, both a chaymish payment, that cannot obligate both a chaymish payment and a kefil payment. And here we start with chama mayna. There's one animal that's being under discussion, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. By Rapapa, trei chumshei. If there's an obligation to pay chaymish twice, or trei kefil, two times kefil by one individual, b'chad gavra, mai. Is that possible? And first the Gemara wants to establish a case that we could understand. Hechidami, says the Gemara, first let's try to understand what is the case that is being discussed. Says the Gemara, Hechidami, K'tayin Tainas Avad, the Shomer said that what he was asked to watch was lost. For nishba, and he swears to that effect. For hayda, and then he admits. For chaz of a ton tainus avad, and then he says again the same claim. For nishba, and he swears falsely in his hayda. So Taisa says that we should take out the word v'hayda from the Gemara, because if he admitted, the moment he admits that he's a liar, so then at that point he's not considered a shomer anymore, and he's obligated in all obligations, and therefore anything that happens afterwards, he won't be considered a person who swore falsely about something that he's watching, that he has to pay chaimish v'ashen. And therefore, because of that, Taisus says the way to understand this Gemara is that this person kept on doing this, swearing that it was lost, admitting, and he swore a number of times that it was lost, and only after a number of those shvuas was he maida on all of those shvuas, on all of those oaths that they were a lie. That's why Taisus learns the Gemara. The Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says that there was admission between each shvua. Rosh asked Ar Samech the question that Taisu says. The moment that he admitted he's no longer a shvua, says the Gemara, says the Rosh, as long as he has the Bikadon in his hand, he's considered a shomer, which is a very bechidish. So again, we're going to learn like Taisu. He made a number of shvuas, v'hoida, and after all those number of shvuas, he admitted that he had lied. Inami, or another case where this question would be applicable, kachetan tanis ganef, he swore that it was stolen, v'nishba, uba edem, then edem came that he has it, v'chazvatan tanis ganef, v'nishba, uba edem, mai, mi'amrin trei gavni m'moyna kama, v'chamon adloin lich m'chay m'moyna. You can't be chayef kefil and chaimish from one object. V'hocha, we're talking about two times chaimish. Chad gavnehu. Adam atrem emana amrachmana lo yishtam aleichab emayna. We never issue two punishments from one object. It doesn't make a difference if the two payments are the same amount or different amounts. V'chanami trem emayna ninhu. So what is the halacha? Says the maratoshma adam arava. The chamishas or Yosef alav. From here we learn that Torah ripsa chamishas harbe l'keren achas. The Torah says you could end up paying many times chaimish from one keren. Shmami know that is something that the Torah says is certainly possible. And in this case, you'll have to pay chaimish for every time you swore and admitted that you lied. So I saw that the Chashuk Echemet asks an interesting question. It is discussed an interesting shaila. The shaila that he discusses is somebody who stole an object, and presumably he did tshuva. And the question is, this has happened a number of times, where this person says he stole something, he did tshuva, etc., etc. And we know that whenever we need to have an aid, the aid has to be somebody who is trustworthy. So the question now is, not a rasha. Somebody who swears falsely is certainly disqualified from being an aid. And the question is this person who stole and presumably did tshuva qualified to be an aid again? Or the fact that he keeps on doing this so on a regular basis disqualifies him from being an aid? So he says that the Rambam quotes this Gemara, that the person swore falsely and admitted a number of times. And when the Rambam quotes this Gemara, this halacha in Perek Dalet from Hilchos Ganeva, halacha hey, on the spot, the Magen Mishnah says that there are mefarshim that ask a question. The question that he asks, that they ask, is how did the halacha allow the person to swear many times? We know that this person has a track record that he swears falsely. So how did the Beis Din allow it to keep on swearing? So the Magen Mishnah says, from here we see that even though a person swore falsely, if he says and we believe that he did tshuva, Beis Din is going to allow him to swear over and over again, even though it seems that he has this track record of keeping on to do the wrong thing. That is the opinion of Magen Mishnah. So says the Chashuki Chemed, applying it to the question that he asked, that even if you have a person that many times has done an Aveira, and now the question is, could we consider him kosher? Can we allow him to be an aid by a wedding? Can we allow him to be an aid by a get? Or do we have to be concerned about the status of his tshuva? Based on what the Magen Mishnah just said, says the Chashuki Chemed, we should allow him to be the aid. And he quotes other svarim that say that it is entirely possible that a person should do an Aveira, and after the person does an Aveira, he should then do tshuva. That is the opinion of, that's what he says first. But then he suggests that it may not be a perfect comparison. Here we're speaking about a person who is doing this the way we've been learning, he's been doing this on his own. So the halacha says, doing it in a bezdin, that we are allowed to, if we believe he did tshuva, we could accept what he's saying. But he says, the Chashuki Chemed, the question that I'm discussing is about allowing this person to ask this person to be an aid. Here it's not so simple that we should allow a person who does this to be an aid. He's not the individual that we should consider a qualified individual to be an aid. Continues the Gemara. Tava balam lishmar. If the owners asked him that, tava balam lishmar, the owner asked the shomer to give back the bekadim for nishba. And he did swears that it was stolen, and v'shilem, but even though he was exempt now from paying back, he went l'fnim mishur sedin, and he did above the letter of the law, and he paid back. And then, hukra ganef, and the ganef was caught. So as far as the actual object that was stolen, that's not the value of the object that's stolen, or the stolen object, if it's still in existence, that's no question. The value has to be given back to the shomer. The question is, a ganef, as we keep on learning, has to pay kefil. Who pays? To whom does he pay the kefil? Kefil of me. To whom does he pay the kefil? Abaye amar lebaal b'kodin. Abaye says that it's paid to the owner of the object. The ganef always pays kefil, he says, to the owner of the object. And Rava says, that pays it to the shomer. And the Gemara explains the basis for the machlokes. Abaye's opinion is that it's paid to the baal b'kodim. Kivin da'achtruche b'shvuah. Once the owners made the shomer swear, lo'miknen le'kfeila, they didn't give him the right to get the kefil. That doesn't make him the owner. Rabba. The shomer, the kivan, the shilim, since he paid for what, for the object, that makes the object his. And if it makes the object his, obviously the halacha will require that the kefil is his as well. Says the Gemara, the machloikus of Abaye and Rava really is based on the yukud masnisin, how to learn Pshat in a Mishnah Masech Bab Mitzia Daf Lama Gimel on Beis. The Tanan, the Mishnah says there, Hamafkei Tzach Haveri Behema Kalim. Somebody leaves an animal or tools with somebody to be a Shemichinim. The Nignavu or Avdu, and they were stolen or lost. The Shilim, and the Shemer didn't want to swear as the Torah requires. He just said, "I will pay." The Shilim for Leratz L'Shalim. He paid because he did not want to make a Shvuah. Harei Amru. So the halacha is, the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, Shem Echinim Nishba, that a Shem Echinim swears that it was stolen or lost for Yotze, and at that point he doesn't have to pay. But he, as we said earlier, is an individual who wanted to go Lefnim Mishur Sadin, and even though he doesn't have to pay, he paid. And then Nimtza Ganef, the Ganef is caught. The halacha is Misham Tashlim Kefil. The ganef has to pay kefil. Tava chamachar. If the ganef, the tficha mechira na sharasa, he misham tashlumi above a chamisha. Lemiu mishalim, says the Mishnah, to whom does he pay? Nishba, if the shomer swore v'leirotz l'shalim, he did what the Torah prescribes, he swears and he doesn't want to pay. V'nimtza gama, ganef, and the ganef is caught, m'shalim tashlumei kefil, the ganef has to pay kefil. Tavach u'mach, if the ganef did tficha mechira, then the ganef will have to pay m'shalim tashlumei bar v'chamisha. L'muyu m'shalim, to whom will he pay? He'll pay that to the baal p'kodin. He'll pay it to the owner of the object. That's the Mishnah. So now says the Gemara, Abaye Daik, Abaye bases his psak on the ratio of that Mishnah. Rava Daik, Misefa, and Rava bases his psak on the Sefer of the Mishnah. And the Gemara explains itself. Abaye Daik, Mereisha, Abaye bases his psak on the ratio. The Tani, Shilem Velerotzel Lesholem. If he swore, if he paid and refused to swear. So what says Abaye, the most important factor to take in consideration is the loirotz l'shava, that he didn't swear at all. Ha nishba, had he sworn, afapi, even though besides swearing, which should really take him off the hook, even though he swore, he still paid, l'mi mishalem, as long as he swore, then the owner of the object is the one that's going to get the kefil and the dal v'hei. On the other hand, rava daik m'sefer, nishba v'loirotz l'shalim, the why does the kefil, the dal v'hei, go to the owner? Because the shomer tamed aleirotz l'shalim, because the shomer didn't pay. Ha shilim, as long as he paid, whether he swore or not, api shenishba, even though he had sworn, but since the shomer was the one that paid, l'mi m'shalim, who gets the kefil, who gets the dal v'hei? Kodin atzlai. So they both are able to base their positions on what it said in that Mishnah. But now, obviously, ask the Gemara. Rava, who based his psak on the Sefer, Abaye, who based his psak on the Resha, what will he do with the Sefer? Labaye kasha Sefer. Amlach Abaye says, Abaye, this is the way to understand the Sefer. Nishba, v'lay rotz l'shalim, kaidim shvur. Elacha shvur, if he swore and he didn't want to pay, before, if he swore and didn't want to pay, before making a shvua, only after making the shvua, since he made a shvua, the sefer, then the aloch will be the baal p'kodin, the one that owns it, gets the gal v'hei and the kefil. Rava kasha resha. Rabbi, that learned from the resha, what would Rava do with the resha? Amalei Rava hakatari. Shilem v'lei rotzel lamed b'shvua. So if he paid, and he didn't want to make a shvua, ela shilem, he rather paid, and he ignored the fact that he could really be exempt, because he made a shvua, l'mi m'shalem. Who does the money go to? L'misha b'kodin etzloi. It goes to the shomer. He'll get the kefil and he'll get the dal v'hei. We've learned many times that a moida b'knas is potter from if somebody's moida that he did an aveira, which comes with a knas payment, he's potter. That means if a ganav walks in and he's moida that he's the ganav, he doesn't have to pay kefil. When will he have to pay kefil? Only if the Edom that he stole came before he was Moida. As the Pasuk said, and we learned this extensively earlier in the Masechta on Daf Samach Dalet on the base, the Pasuk says, Asher Yashino Lehim Yishalom Shnaim L'Re'eu Prat L'Odom HaMashias Atzmai. If it's not that Edom indicted me, it was me myself, that the halacha is that I don't have to pay the kefil. The question is, What is considered a haidah? So the halacha is a considered haidah is that the person who claims that I stole from him, I admit to what he claims. But if it wasn't based on a claim, or if it wasn't a claim from the person who says I stole from him, then that wouldn't be considered a moed b'knas. So ask the Gemara, Tavu abalim l'shomer, the balim, the owner of the object came to the shomer that should return what he stole, the nishba, and he swore that he's potter, for whatever the claims that the shomer chinam can make to be potter. V'huka aganef, and he claims it was stolen. V'huka aganef, and that aganef was caught. Tava shomer, and the shomer goes and makes a claim to the ganef, you stole it. V'hoida, and this ganef was moida. The tvu balim, and then the owners claim to the ganef, you stole this item. The kofar, and he denies. the view Edom, and they have Edom to that if, that he's lying, and he's is the ganef. Me nifta ganef by dosa eloi. Nifta is the ganef going to be exempt from paying the kefil by the fact that he was moided to the shomer. Eloi nifta ganef by dosa shomer. In other words, the issue here is how does the halacha look at the shomer? Certainly, if somebody's a moider, if he would be moider to the owner of the object, that, as we explained, would be considered a moider b'knas. How do we look if he was moider to the shomer? Amarava, in be'emes nishba, if the shomer swore that it was stolen, and indeed that's what happened, nifta agamen b'dar shomer, since the shomer is considered still trustworthy because he didn't do anything wrong. Since he didn't do anything wrong, he's still a shomer. And since he's still a shomer, what is the job of a shomer who even is potter, even if it's a case that it's that he won't be obligated to pay the money, but he still has to try to return what was entrusted with him. And therefore, since he's in that position, so he's still a shomer, and he's still considered very much in control of this object. And since he's still very much considered in control of this object, if he was admitted to, it's considered moed b'knas. However, in Shek and Nishba, that let's say it turns out that his shvua was a lie, and how could his shvua be a lie when we know he wasn't the ganef? We did find the ganef. So the Rishonim say, because he was a posheya, Rashi explains. He was negligent. So even though he didn't actually steal it, but negligence is equal to stealing it. So now that means that the owners took away his responsibility here. And since the owners took away his responsibility here, Rashi adds here a concept of anan sadi. We're certain that the owners are not interested in this person being a shomer here. This person is a person who swore falsely, the person who was negligent in taking care of the animal and the object. And therefore, he doesn't have any more control or possession over this. And being moider to him is not considered being moider, is not considered being moider to the owner of the thing. And therefore, the haidah to him, that haidah is not considered a valid haidah. By Rav, another question. A person was going to swear falsely. And the owners know he's about to swear falsely, and they didn't let him swear. And that point, the ganef was caught, and the ganef was moided to the shomer. Mahu. Will we say that at the end of the day, he didn't swear falsely? So since at the end of the day, he didn't swear falsely, he's still the shomer. And we just finished learning that if he's still the shomer, then the halacha is that the haidah to him is considered a haidah. Or do we say the only reason he didn't swear is because the owner of the object knew with whom he's dealing and knew that he's working with a shomer who's dishonest and he doesn't want there should be a false shvua made and he stopped it. But he doesn't want him still to be the shomer. Says the Gemara, Teiku, it's a question. Rav Kahana Masni Hacher, this is the way Rav Kahana learned this halacha. Rav Tuvim Asni, boy Rava, Nishba L'Shekem Mahu, what's the halacha if he swore falsely? Do we say, once he swears falsely, he's not a shomer? Or maybe because he'll regret that shvua, and that will return him to be a shomer, and in that case, he remains with a taiku. So Agamar speaks here about a person who didn't actually swear falsely, but he's a person that wanted to swear falsely. So the Chashuki Chemed has an interesting discussion. He has a discussion where the halacha tells us, the Ramah passes this way, if in Chosh Mishpat Simen Kuf Ayin Vav Sif Tez Vav, that if you have two partners, and one of partners did something wrong, he cheated, he embezzled, the halacha is that that is immediate grounds for the dissolution of the partnership. The question that the Chashuki Chemed discusses is what's going to be the halacha where the partner was going to do something wrong, but he didn't actually do it. How does the halacha view such circumstances? Does the halacha say, at the end of the day, this person's a dishonest person? He wanted to do something wrong. And even though at the end he didn't end up doing it, that doesn't change the reality that since he wanted to do something wrong, I, the partner, should have a right to dissolve the partnership, or based on that. Or do we say that at the end of the day, he didn't swear falsely, so I can't just dissolve the partnership? So he makes a very interesting observation. He says, this question that we just learned, Boy Rava, Amad L'Shava L'Sheka, V'loi Hinichu Mahu, the Rambam, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, don't quote this halacha. And the question is, why is this halacha not quoted? So he wants to suggest, because to the Rishonim, it's obvious that just because somebody wanted to swear falsely, but he didn't swear falsely, at the end of the day, he didn't swear falsely. And the halacha could only recognize what was actually done. And if it wasn't actually done, the halacha doesn't consider it in any way. That's why the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't quote this halacha. And similarly, that's why this person, even though he was going to do something unacceptable, cannot be forced to dissolve the partnership. The Shas Tshuvas Micha Shlema from Rav Shlema Zalman Braun says that Chelek Aleph, Siman Zayin, speaks about a case that you have a patient that needs to see a doctor, and the patient is concerned that the doctor, who's not religious, is not on Shabbos. There are many halachas that one may or may not do for somebody who's sick. But this doctor, who's irreligious, doesn't care about those halachas. So are you allowed to go to such a doctor when you know that you may cause him to be mechallel Shabbos? So he quotes, somebody says that somebody stole, and Beis Din can make him swear. And the person who could be forced to swear says that, I want you to know that I don't care about swearing falsely, and if you bring me to Din Torah, I'm going to swear falsely. What is the halacha? And is that considered? Should I forfeit my claim? Because if I won't make him swear, he'll win by default. So he says that it's not considered lifnei iver, but he says that even though it's not considered lifnei iver, we know how serious the avera of swearing falsely is, and the serious effects that it could have on the entire world. The halacha is, you should perhaps not make him swear. The Divrei Chaim seems to have a different approach, and he isn't concerned. He says that, so now Rav Shlomo Zalman goes back to our question, with his question about the doctor. He says that if he didn't actually ask him to do something which is osur in halacha, just the doctor does it. So it's not that the patient specifically asked the doctor to do something which revolves, for example, Chil Shabbos, even though he knows that the doctor is going to do it. But since the halacha allows him to ask a doctor, and it's the obligation of the doctor to make sure to do it right, he could go to that doctor. Continues the Gemara, Tavol Balam L'Shomer. If the owners asked the Shomer for the object, v'shilem, and the Shomer paid, he didn't want to swear, he just paid. And then Huka Ganef, and the Ganef was caught. Atvua Balam, and the owner, now it's the reverse case, the owner of the object could make a claim to the Ganef of Hoida. V'tava Shofer, but the Shomer made a claim of Kofar. V'evi Edom, and the Shomer was able to bring Edom that he was lying. The question is, Nifter Ganef by Das Balam, as we keep on repeating, you have to admit to the true owner. Are the owners of this object who got paid for it by the shomer still considered the owner and owners, and therefore haidah to them is considered haidah or loy? Mi aminin matzah amalei shomer lebalim atun kim the shklis l'chudami they could say to them, since you got paid, you're no longer a party here. And therefore, a haidah to you is meaningless. Maybe the owners could say, you did something above and beyond. You paid, even though you weren't obligated to pay, you just paid, didn't want to make a shvur, didn't want to make an issue. And now, nami of the, we also wanted to do something, and what we did was, tarchina basa ganva, we tried to find the ganif. Shekolna anodidon, shekol adidoch. And just, we want to take what's ours, and you should take with yours. And the question is, we wanted to get you back your money, and therefore they consider bailam here, teiku. Itmar, nignava b'aynas. If a pekadin was stolen b'aynas, and then v'chukah ganif, and then the ganif was caught. To Omar Baya, who has the obligation to go try to find the ganif? Im shaymechinim hu, rotza oisim maidin. If he's a shaymechinim, he doesn't have to try to find the ganif. Rotza oisim maidin, he says he can make din. He doesn't swear, pays to the owner, and the shaymer goes after the ganif. Vim rotza nishba, the shaymer should swear, and he's off the hook. Im shaymer sachahu, if it's a shaymer sachar, oisim maidin. The shomer has to pay the balam because geneva is not an exemption by a shomer sachar, and he should go after the ganif vein nishba. And there's no shvua here. Rava whether it's a shomer sachar, whether it's a shomer chinam, oisa imaydin should pay the owner vein nishba. They should both try to find the ganif. If the ganif could be tracked down, that makes no difference. If it's a Shai Mechinim or a Shai Mesachar, they are the ones that have to find the Ganif. And the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. A Shai Mesachar is easy to understand. Because the Shai Mesachar, since Geneva is not an exemption for him, so there's no question that you have to go, he has to find the Ganif. But even a Shai Mechinim, whatever he could do to get this object back to the owner is his obligation. Why is that so? The reason that that's so, because otherwise it would be a pshia, and a shay mechinim is chayv and pshia. Says the Gemalim pligad Rav Huna bar Oven, the shalk Rav Huna bar Oven, dingdav ba'aynis, if an animal was stolen, v'hukar ganif, im shay mechinim hu, roitzi yitzimidayin rotzen nishba, shay mechinim does not have to go after the ganif, shay mesacha, oisi meidin v'ein nishba. So we see clearly that a shay mechinim does not have to go after the ganif. Amalak Rava, Hakam Maiskinen, Kigan Shikan Venishba. When did Rav Huna say this? When the Shomer already swore. And that's when he already swore, he doesn't have to go after the Ganif. Says the Gemara, how could you say that he already swore? Let's read the words. Verotzi Maidin Rotz Nishba Kamar. So it seems that he didn't swear yet. Hakam Rotz Shomer Chinam Aymed Bishvuasai. He could rely on the Shvu that he made. Writes up, even though he made a Shvu, I said, my din, he should go after the ganif. Rezutra, b'aylai hachi. Rezutra explains the Gemara this way. Nignav b'aynis. The animal was stolen, but it was stolen through list of mezuyin. And as we've learned previously, even though a shay mesachar is chayiv on geneva, a shay mesachar is potter by list of mezuyin. The chichs a ganif, and the ganif returned it to the base shaymer. And now, the animal died because the shomer was negligent. Mau, mimrin kivin the nignav ba'aynis. Once it was stolen beyond his control, and he's no longer a shomer. If he's no longer a shomer, there is no concept of pshia or anything. He's not a shomer. Adama kivin the hadra. Once the animal was returned to his possession, he becomes a shomer again. Chodril shmirasoi. He becomes a shomer again. And once he becomes a shomer again, so then he's chayiv for the pshia. And the Gemara teiku remains with a teiku.